Creative Biz Ideas is sponsored by Vids Inc., exceptional video production. If you're looking for training videos, marketing videos, or website videos, then call Vids Inc. at 281-968-VIDS. That's 281-968-8437. You're listening to Creative Biz Ideas with your host, Nolan Davis, on Blog Talk Radio.
And we are back. This is Nolan Davis and DeAndrea Cantrice. And we're going to go ahead and talk to Mark about some legal advice because he is our attorney here at Creative Biz Ideas. Mark Smith, are you there, sir?
I am, Nolan. How are you doing this Monday morning?
Man, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. And yourself?
I'm doing well, doing well. The sun's shining, so it can't be too bad, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. How was your weekend, sir?
It was good. It was good. I got some relaxation in, got a little work in, and The Walking Dead is back. So, you know, I got to watching my show last night. So,
Gotcha. So what you got for us today, sir?
Well, you know, just kind of continuing on the contracts angle of things, I was thinking, you know, what is one of the major contracts that most small businesses have to deal with? And, you know, you might not necessarily think of it as a contract at first, but a commercial lease is one of the most common contracts that you're going to deal with and is probably going to be one of your largest expenses as a business as well. So just kind of wanted to give everybody a little bit of background on what, you know, if they're looking for a commercial lease, you know, looking for a spot for their business, kind of, you know, some of the more common things they're going to run into. So when you start looking, you know, if you do your internet search looking for space, you're probably going to see two different types of leases. And one will be what they call a gross lease, and the other is going to be a net lease. And just a quick explanation of the two of those. So first, a gross lease is basically the entire rent, you know, all of your expenses related to the rent of the property is going to be included in one number. And so usually that's, you know, shown as square foot, you know, price per square foot per month or per year. And it's actually more common to have it per year. So, for example, you know, and I've got it in my blog, if you're looking for Class B office space and, you know, you see a number that says, you know, $24. Well, that's $24 per square foot per year. So if you're going to rent 2,000 square feet, that's going to be $48,000 a year or, you know, $4,000 a month as far as your rent.
Right.
Net lease, on the other hand, is got two components. Number one, it's got a base rent. And that's, you know, just kind of your rent for the space. And then the other component is a little bit variable. And I say that because it's based on you're either paying your net portion of the real estate taxes that are for the building. It could be the insurance for the building, or it could be the maintenance and operations of the common areas of the building, or a lot of the times all three. And typically, if this all three components are involved, they're going to call that a triple net lease or you know, it'd be abbreviated NNN. So, you know, kind of using the same example of the 2,000 square feet, well, your base rent might be $18, and your additional rent or the net component of the rent might be $6 per square foot per year. And that net component can potentially be variable. So, you know, one year it might be $6, and then if the taxes go up significantly, the next year it might be $7.50 per square foot per year. So that's definitely one area that you need to consider as a small business, especially since, you know, the leases are typically, you know, a 3 to 5 year proposition.
Right.
You know, talking about the additional rent, there's some other areas that the landlord might want to tack on additional rent that could be for water and sewage or, you know, potentially the utilities as well. So if the landlord is going to cover the electricity in the building, you know, just make sure that as a small business, you're really examining everything that the landlord is obligated to pay. One other kind of major area for commercial leases, especially in the retail setting, is a percentage rent. And, you know, basically what that is that the landlord gets a percentage of your gross monthly revenue for whatever your operations is. So, for example, if you, you know, you imagine a strip center, and so you've got a pizza joint in there, and, you know, the landlord basically wants to, you know, enjoy your success as well, because the theory is that your location is, you know, part of the reason for your success. So typically, they'll put a percentage of your gross revenue, well, you know, 3 to 5%, something relatively low, but it's still a percentage of your gross revenue. You know, and a lot of times, if you're going to be in a retail setting like that, you want to make sure that, you know, you can negotiate in some potential thresholds. So, for example, you don't necessarily, especially if you're losing money, you don't want to share that 3 to 5% because that could be the difference between making payroll or not, right? So you can put thresholds in there that the percentage doesn't kick in until, you know, you generated $50,000 or $100,000 in gross revenue. So you can build in things like that.
Okay.
You know, one other probably major area that that tenants should consider is what happens, you know, especially living here in the Gulf Coast, what happens if we get a hurricane and it wipes out the building? You know, who is, you know, is the landlord obligated to restore the premises completely to its prior, you know, prior condition? If not, you know, what is the process? Is the tenant required to, you know, chip in to return the premises to its prior condition? And, you know, what happens if that does happen, or, you know, the landlord gets the insurance proceeds and decides, well, you know, we're not going to rebuild, we're just going to abandon the property. You know, is the tenant still obligated to pay rent? And is the tenant still obligated to pay rent while the building is uninhabitable? So those are all things that you definitely should consider when you're trying to negotiate a commercial lease. And obviously, those are just kind of the high points for commercial lease. There's tons of other provisions that could be included. And, you know, depending on, you know, how sophisticated the lease is itself or the landlord in, you know, in that regard, it's definitely something you might want to have some help reviewing, especially if it's going to be a large space and it's going to be a really long-term lease for you. So,
Got you. You know, it's funny how you just came right behind Doug Winnie. Doug Winnie was all about the profits and your profits, and then you just came up with a contract that could take some 3 to 5% of those profits due to the location. So I don't know if he would be game for that type of situation, as we were just talking about profits. But when in some of those higher traffic locations, and they know that like you said, that your success depends on that traffic, I can see that being pretty much the only type of lease that they offer, probably in some of those locations. And because I'm from Chicago, you know, we have what's called, you know, the Michigan Mile. So they're probably doing that all up and down Michigan, I'm sure of it.
Exactly. And then, you know, that's the idea, you know, that those are high value, especially, you know, because of the foot traffic and the car automobile traffic, you know, potentially those are very, very sought after spaces.
Right, absolutely. So, Mark, how can somebody get in touch with you, sir?
Two easiest ways is look me up on my website, which is www.jmsmithlaw.com, and you can check out the website, and there's also a contact page, so if you want to email me, or call me on my office phone, which is 281-489-3934.
Okay. And then you had Tessie Wendell. She she spoke to you. Do some mentoring or something like that?
I have a kind of a side business. So before I went back into private practice, I did a lot of our internal training and leadership development. So I do a little bit of that on the side, mainly for my EMS clients. So I kind of have a reputation with the emergency medical services industry here in the Houston area. So I do a lot of that with them, but happy to talk to anybody. I do a lot of interactive training and mainly geared toward leadership development. So,
got you. What type of methodology is it based on? What type of
It really depends. I have a lot of different kind of tools that I can pull out of the toolbox. I'm Myers-Briggs certified, so you know I could do the personality profile and kind of use that as a basis. But there's a lot of tools that I have. The one that I really like, especially when it's a team-based environment, is a concept that this guy named Patrick Lencioni came up with, the five dysfunctions of the team. And the idea is that it's kind of based like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. So, you know, if you don't have the foundational layer, then you can't really function well at the second level. And if you don't have the second level covered, then you can't really function at the third level. And, you know, it's all about, you know, the foundational layer is trust, which to me makes perfect sense, because if you don't have, you know, a good level of trust, you're not going to be a high-functioning team. And, you know, then there's accountability and good, healthy conflict as opposed to destructive conflict and things like that. And so, you know, in combination with all of those, you know, of course, I also talk about, you know, emotional intelligence. You know, which is, you know, kind of how in tune you are with other people and that sort of thing. So there's a lot of factors to me that go into being a good leader, and I like to pull as many of those tools out as I can, you know, based on the situation at hand. So
sure. Okay. So you and I need to sit down and talk, and I'm thinking next week may be a pretty good week for me to do that. So
okay.
I'll be giving you a call later on this week, sir, to set something up for next week. Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Smith, I appreciate you, sir.
I appreciate you too, Nolan. You guys have a good week.
All right, you do the same.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye.